Happy Easter and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today's podcast is a little late today because I had a little issue that I had to take care of this morning with my car, and it took longer than I figured it would. And therefore, this podcast is a little late today. I do apologize for that. I need to get back to scheduling them a little bit ahead of time so that I'm at least a couple days ahead so that when they drop, they get with you. I also want to make an announcement for everybody because I think it's very important. I have cleaned up the website and I've cleaned up my YouTube page, and they are both linked together now, as well as all of these podcasts are now being hosted through dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com. There's a podcast tab in there that brings the podcast every day to that particular website and will allow you to have a little bit more one-on-one contact with me. There's also a little icon on each one of the pages that if you click on it will ask for your email and allow you to sign up for what will eventually be a future email newsletter that you will be receiving from me once I get that all set up. And it's something that's still in the works, so it's not going to happen right away. So you have a little time. The YouTube section does not have any videos yet because I've completely stripped my YouTube. But I'm eventually going to have some videos on there teaching materials to help aid on other topics beyond this, because I think we need to look at things like faith. We need to understand how the covenant impacts not just our relationship with God, but our understanding of the sacraments and little other topics like that. Just giving you like a PowerPoint presentation where I explain stuff. I'm also thinking I might put up some things from my seminary time, like a learning Greek course that we'll go through and maybe a learning Hebrew course so that we can kind of benefit that way. But that's all available to you at dtesh.com. That's our website. It's just the same thing as the Dtesh Catholic Place name. You just take that five-letter word, Dtesh, and put it up there. And I'm probably in my very first video that I'm going to link to everything is explain why I chose the name Dtesh for that. So be looking for that to hopefully be up there sometime in the near future. But in the meantime, we're going to turn to the catechism, and we're going to look at this topic of the ascension, and we're really going to dig into understanding what is the ascension. It's more or less the throwaway important date in the Easter season, because everybody focuses on the Easter Bunny, everybody focuses on the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The ascension, yay, he goes up into heaven. What does that mean for me? That's what we're going to be looking at now. And as we touched upon yesterday, it's not so much that Jesus went up into heaven. It's the fact that it has a benefit to you and me down here. And that's what we're really going to be looking at over the next couple days. So without too much ado, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer and begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord Jesus, I adore you, Son of Mary, my Savior, and my brother, for you are my God. I follow you in all my thoughts. O fruit, first fruits of our race, as I hope one day by your grace to follow you in my person into heavenly glory. In the meantime, do not let me neglect the earthly task that you have given me. Let me labor diligently all my life with greater appreciation for the present. Let me realize that only by accomplishing true human fulfillment can I obtain divine fulfillment and ascend to you at the completion of my work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a very beautiful prayer, and I love that prayer from the New St. Joseph People's Prayer Book, just in case you're ever interested in that. It's in there. Most of the prayers that I get is in that or in the Novena devotional that I have, although every now and then I will mix in other prayers from other sources. But where we're at today and where we need to focus and where I need to bring the focus back to is what starts in the Catechism at section 659. 659 takes up the sixth article of the Apostles' Creed. that basically says the following. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a very simple line, and a lot of people kind of throw it away, not really understanding what it means, but it has great significance for you and for me. As we learned yesterday, the ascension commissions us to really understand a little bit more about our place in the gospel message, and really focuses us upon how the sacraments make Jesus present to us today, and how the Holy Spirit eventually, when he comes into our abode, transforms us so that we can be witnesses. That's why we tarry in place. And I think that's something that we're being called to reflect upon in these days of the COVID situation, where everybody's told to stay at home, don't go outside, be afraid of the sunlight, you know, be vampires. I'm making fun of it a little bit here, but you get the gist. We're basically told stay home. We have to shelter in place. We have to not go outside, because that's what's going to keep everybody alive. And in a sense, maybe. But the realistic sense is we're experiencing that tomb moment, being in the tomb with Jesus on Holy Saturday. We haven't fully risen with him in the resurrection yet. We're like the apostles between the Ascension Thursday event in the Pentecost event, just praying for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us. And it's during that time that we're in right now, where we're in our prayer closets, when we're praying for some type of blessing from God to allow us to go back out in the public and actually go to Mass at a church and experience one-on-one contact with other human beings in public, even if it's 6 feet away, and somehow receive communion through all of that. That is the big focus that we need to have at this point in time, really understanding how the ascension brings us out of where we're at. And this is what 659 of the Catechism begins with telling us, because it states the following. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Christ's body was glorified at the moment of his resurrection, as proved by the new and supernatural properties that it subsequently and permanently now enjoys. Because during the 40 days, he ate and he drank with them just as he did before with his disciples and taught them about the kingdom. His glory remained veiled under the appearance of ordinary humanity. It still remains veiled. It's not shining through like the transfiguration, because we still need to experience him as an individual. In fact, it's hidden in a sense that we also don't always recognize Jesus in those moments, like Mary Magdalene. She didn't realize she was talking to Jesus, thought she was talking to a gardener. The two on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus. They thought they were just talking to some other guy. And it wasn't until he broke bread that they were like, oh, wait, that's Jesus. And it's foreshadowing the simple fact that in the sacraments, we don't always recognize Jesus, most specifically the Blessed Sacrament. When we see a loaf of bread or a piece of bread or a cup that's filled with what looks like wine, we don't perceive Jesus in our natural senses. And he's hidden under those veils, his divinity, his uniqueness, and everything about him. And in fact, as the church teaches, and we'll get to this when we get to the sacrament section, that one portion of the Blessed Sacrament, whether it be a drop of wine or a drop of or a crumb from the bread, is actually Jesus under the appearance of something else. And that's something that's mind-boggling to us. Now, there are people who say, well, if I take it and I go to a scientist, will it prove that it's bread or will it prove that it's Jesus? Well, if you're going to be that way about it, God doesn't have to manifest himself to you in a way like that. It's that line from the Tantum Ergo that our feeble senses fail. We are not able to perceive him as he is. And it's a reminder that our knowledge is limited. God has to use natural means to explain something about himself that we can't fully comprehend. He is one God, three persons. We understand what one is. We understand what three is. We don't understand how three can be one. It's strange math to us. It's something that we can't really perceive, but we can know is actually true. Just like the bread, we cannot perceive Jesus directly when we're looking at the bread of the Eucharist, because once it has been consecrated, it is the body of Christ. Whether I perceive it, scientifically examine it, or not, it is the body of Christ. And that's something that we get with the glorification that comes from Christ being raised from the dead, as is seen here in section 659 of the Catechism. During the 40 days, Jesus eats, drinks, and is around them in a very familiar way with his disciples. But his glory remains veiled under the appearance of ordinary humanity. Just like his body and his blood is veiled under the appearance of bread and wine in the Eucharist. We don't understand the fullness of baptism because the water represents something about Christ that we don't perceive naturally, but we can understand by what we naturally perceive, like washing, being changed, dying, being buried with him. Little things like that come about. So that's all there. And as 659 of the Catechism continues to tell us, Jesus' final apparition ends with the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory, symbolized by the cloud and by heaven, where he is seated from this time forward at God's right hand. Now, we need to really understand this because it's really important that we get it. Jesus, when he went into heaven, when he ascended on Ascension Thursday, he went up as a human person into the divine glory. And when he got there, he sat down at the right hand of the Father forever. The right hand, a position of authority. It may just be terminology to you and me, and not an actual sitting at the right of God the Father, because that's kind of a unique language if we apply it to God. But it is to represent a position of authority. It is to represent something about what we in our society would call somebody that is a right-hand man of another. I mean, just think about it. Robin is the right-hand man of Batman, if we use the statements that way. Or if we talk about somebody doing something on the behest of somebody else, they're basically in a position of authority, a position unique to that individual. And that's being relayed to us here in the imagery that's being talked about here. And I remember one time sitting with Bishop Braxton with a couple other seminarians, because we were invited to his house for a meal. And he got talking about how purgatory is not an actual place in the sense of Paris being a place on this plane or this reality, because you just can't go up into outer space and find heaven, or go down into the bowels of the earth and find hell. And in that sense, yeah, he's right. It's not a location in this, we'll use the term, dimension of reality. There is an alternate reality of spiritual things, a spiritual reality, a higher dimension, something possibly outside the universe that we're not able to perceive no matter how we try. But it is represented to us in a very primitive way with some very specific language of going up or going down. When we talk about Mary being assumed, we have her being assumed up into the sky. Now, does this mean that heaven is in outer space? No. Does it mean that hell is below the ground? No. It's an imagery to get us an idea of something greater and something lesser. If I was to tell you that chocolate cake is a great cake, strawberry cake is a better cake, and vanilla cake is okay, I'm giving you a comparison, and you could probably see them in three different categories, to where one is on a top shelf, one is on a middle shelf, one is on the lower shelf. It's giving you a location about which is preferred, which is more important. And we do this in categorizing things all the time. And this is the imagery of the ascension, that Jesus is going up. He's going to a higher position than he was before. And in fact, that's what entering into the blessedness of God and sitting at his right hand is all about. Ephesians will tell us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this seating is also used in the imagery of the millennial kingdom, because it talks about the thrones being set up and the elders sitting upon these thrones and judging for a millennia. It's just showing you that there is a new era of the church and the kingdom in this time and space. There's imagery there, and we have to understand the imagery as it's given. It's figurative, metaphorical, allegorical, but it's not necessarily meaning that heaven is up there in outer space. Now, I do have to caution. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. Purgatory is a real state. These are things that we believe beyond question. Where it is? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know if it's just a state in between realities or if it's a reality in and of itself, but I know this much. I can't point to it on a map like I can Paris, France, or Rome, Italy, or Beijing, China, or any other place where there is a map. Okay? St. Louis, Missouri exists on a map that we can identify. Heaven, not so much. That's why a lot of people get into problems when they look at this language and they try to make it say more than it means. So that's what we need to understand here. In fact, 659 of the Catechism continues telling us this. Only in a wholly exceptional and unique way would Jesus show himself to Paul as one untimely born in a last apparition that established him as an apostle. We know that Paul on the road to Damascus saw Jesus. We also know that Stephen, when he was stoned, saw Jesus. We also know, because the church still believes in the working of spiritual gifts, that people can perceive spiritual things. Sister Faustina perceived spiritually the reality of Jesus and his divine mercy. The three children at Fatima perceived spiritually. Mary, when she visited them on the various months between May and October, to reveal a message to them. These revealings are real. They are something that can happen. And it's backed up by the understanding of Paul on the road to Damascus and also with Stephen, the apostle, the deacon who was the first martyr in Scripture, because he was stoned to death as one of the deacons and was one of the first martyrs, or actually is the first martyr listed in sacred Scripture in the church record. And that's where it all comes from. So all these things kind of lead together into one. And what does this remain for us to understand? Well, if we turn to 660 of the Catechism, it tells us that the veiled character of the glory of the risen one during this time is imitated in his mysterious words to Mary Magdalene, where he says, I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This indicates a difference in manifestation between the glory of the risen Christ and that of Christ exalted at the Father's right hand, a transition that is marked by the historical and transcendent event of the resurrection. And that's where we get this idea that the idea of the ascension gives us something more. And this is why we go boldly before the throne of grace and pray, and how we have access into the holy place through Christ, because he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father. And this is something that we will be building upon over these next couple days as we meditate upon the ascension. And it's something that if we really truly get, we will begin to see how we are as a branch on a vine in the presence of God when we really pray, where we really are there at the right hand of the Father, able to make our petitions known. And if we asked anything in His name, according to His will for our lives, we will truly receive them. And that, my brothers and sisters, is something that truly blesses us right now.